Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and WNYC's Andrea Bernstein has seen many a presidential debate and many a monthly jobs report and has been taking a wait-and-see attitude about how much of a bounce Mitt Romney will get from one and President Obama from the other. Hi, Andrea.
Hey, Brian.
So let's begin with the debate. And before it began Wednesday night, we took calls from undecided voters from swing states, as you well know, in a special that I hosted from here at WNYC. And you noticed the pattern. And here's a clip of one of those callers who exemplified the pattern, Judy from Rochester, Minnesota.
They keep saying they have a plan. Well, what is the plan? Like the last caller said, they want details. I want details. But if they give us details and it doesn't come to fruition, then they say, oh, well, you know, they're going to hold me accountable. Well, of course we are. So they don't want to come forth with any details.
So why did that set up the debate for you?
Well, I think that in the hour before the last debate, you and I were listening to voters in the states that count versus all the rest of us and all of the pundits, which really do not count because of the vagaries of the Electoral College system. And we didn't plant these calls, but what people kept saying is two things. I'm undecided and I want to hear details. And then in your reporters' roundtable later in the show, reporters from North Carolina, Ohio kept saying, we can't find these undecided voters. There are actually so few of them. So what we're expecting the candidates to do is to gin up their base, to give enough information so that their supporters will be motivated to turn out, because at the end of the day, the guy that gets the most supporters is the guy that wins. So Romney had two tasks, which were give some details to undecided voters and excite his base. And Obama's path was basically not sort of upsetting the apple cart and not disappointing his supporters, although it's interesting because, you know, you never know with a campaign whether disappointing your supporters from the perspective of the Obama campaign might be totally a bad thing, because it certainly, in interviews that I've done and in conversations that I've had with Democratic voters, they've said, we are really scared now, which may not be all bad for the Obama campaign.
If Obama lost as badly as the pundits think, it is supposedly because he failed to make a case that Romney was extreme and out of touch when Romney was trying to present himself as moderate for the independents and, you know, as getting it about working people after 47% and all his comments. Here is Obama the next day trying to repair the damage strategically.
Some of you may have heard, last night we had our first debate. And, yeah, I just flew in from Denver, and I was telling folks there, when I got on the stage, I met this very spirited fellow who claimed to be Mitt Romney. But I know it couldn't have been Mitt Romney, because the real Mitt Romney's been running around the country for the last year promising $5 trillion in tax cuts that favor the wealthy, and yet the fellow on the stage last night, who looked like Mitt Romney, said he did not know anything about that. It was all news to him.
Obama on Thursday, the day after the debate. So, Andrea, is that the dynamic here, that suddenly undecided Americans who were half paying attention before and only knew Romney from his $10,000 bet and his 47%, and I like being able to fire people, all those other things he said, that they actually saw him for the first time Wednesday night and thought he looked reasonable because Obama didn't call him out?
Well, I think it's a very this is a very complex election. No matter what any of us say, none of us really know, because we've never seen an election like this one. There are two different dynamics at work that we've never seen before. First of all, Twitter was not really a factor in the last presidential race. And even though Facebook was around, it wasn't as widely embraced. So the way information flies so quickly and the way the news cycle moves so quickly, completely affected expectations going into this debate. All that most people had heard about Mitt Romney was the 47%, Clint Eastwood talking to the chair, and a few other things. And their expectations of Mitt Romney were so lowered by this inundation of information. Also, I should not forget to say the advertisements. There are so many advertisements in the swing states that the how all this plays out is a complete unknown this year. We really don't know. So having said that, I'm going to sort of try to tease it out, because I do think that as a short-term strategy, and I've been sort of waiting for Mitt Romney to do this since the primaries, when he moved so far to the right that I was extremely puzzled about how he was going to become the not-so-conservative moderate from Massachusetts who could appeal to undecided voters. And we didn't see that in the convention. I expected to see it in the convention. It was a convention that really played to conservative themes. The first time we saw that was in this debate. Now, 67 million people were watching, which is a lot of people, and some of them clearly are going away thinking, oh, Mitt Romney is not this monster that I thought he was, so I'm giving him a second chance. Or they're thinking, oh, okay, he could be president. However, how long that lasts is a question, because the Romney campaign has put out so much information this year arguing positions that are essentially contrary to what he put out to debate. On the debate, for example, the way he has talked about the health care plan. I mean, what he seemed to be saying on Wednesday night was, I embrace all the aspects of the health care plan except for the part where it costs money and involves government intervention. But don't you worry about pre-existing conditions, and don't you worry if you're a young person on your parents' health plan, I'll fix that. Well, that all sounds good. How that filters out a month from now, once it's been through the advertising machine, is not at all clear. And the other thing that I think has been lost in all of this is that there's definitely a gender divide in this campaign, and people are already voting. We know people are already voting. The people that tend to vote the last and that tend to remain undecided the longest are women. So how women tend to look for a lot of policy details. So those people are still thinking this through, and will probably be thinking it through until we get to the very end of this month.
And Cokie Roberts noted on NPR this morning that Obama ads have been very effective with non-college-educated white women, often a swing voter group, who apparently see the Romney position on birth control coverage in Obamacare as an economic issue, not a social one. Had you heard that before?
I mean, it's a really interesting thing, because our It's a Free Country reporter, Anna Fail, was in some swing counties in Colorado before the debate last week. And she said to people an open-ended question, what's the most important thing to you? And it astounded her how many people said abortion rights, access to abortion. This is something that the Republicans have made into an issue, and it's fascinating because women, at the end of the day, usually vote on things like security. They vote on kitchen table issues. There's not a huge, broad base of women that are voting on reproductive rights issues. That may have changed this year, and that is something to really watch as these things trend outwards. I mean, I think that, you know, the one thing that is sort of very clear from the debate is that Romney supporters were energized. We all know that. But, you know, I mean, he'd been left for dead the week before. He'd had the worst month in presidential candidate history, except for maybe Bob Dole, you know, that I can remember. So the idea that he could come out and be a reasonable person, this man is double Harvard. He is a smart man, and he has run successful companies and successful enterprises. So the fact that he has been consistently, as I might say, to quote another Republican presidential candidate, misunderestimated, probably worked very much to his advantage.
So has Romney gotten a bounce in the polls, especially in the swing states where it would matter? Is it enough days since the debate, and are there enough new polls coming out to judge?
Not really. I mean, there have been a couple of battleground state polls that do show it tightening. There's been some in Florida, and there's been some in Virginia. The polls that we see in Ohio and some of the other swing states do not really contain enough information. And, you know, one of the fascinating things about some of these polls is there were some tracking polls that are tracking minute to minute that were taken after the debate, and they showed that after the debate, people were sort of not so sure what to think of it. But as this sort of got out in the Twitter sphere and the blogosphere and all over the news that Obama had performed dismally, more and more people said, oh, yes, Obama performed dismally. And one of the vagaries of polling that we know is that when their candidates are sort of perform well in a performative way, their supporters tend to be more affirmative with pollsters and more willing to stay on the phone with them. So this is all, it's such a tight race. There are so many variables here. I will say, who won the debates in 2004? I think almost everybody would say John Kerry.
Certainly the first debate, which had an almost similar dynamic.
It really did. And the clip that we heard so much before the debate, the Dan Quayle infamous, you're no John Kennedy with Lloyd Benson. Well, Lloyd Benson's side did not win. So how this flushes out with sort of who won the debate versus who's going to win the presidential election, and whether this Romney strategy of, I am not this threatening guy, I'm not this mean old bad Republican you've been hearing about, whether that is sustainable for a month is something I think that is going to define the narrative of the next 4 weeks.
And, of course, another debate, the vice presidential one, coming up this Thursday night. So even more eyes on that one than there might have been. WNYC's Andrea Bernstein, thanks a lot.
Thanks so much.
By the way, how many eyes? Well, Jim Lehrer mentioned that there were so many people watching the Republican primary debates this year compared to the past. Well, that was, according to his book, 5 million to 7 million people watching the Republican primary debates. Last week, watching Obama and Romney, there were 65 to 70 million. There are 300 million people in the country. 65 to 70 million of them watched last week's debate. Let me give you a quick program note on the vice presidential debates. We will be doing another pre-debate call-in with WNYC listeners and our mostly swing states radio network. You can hear callers from Florida, North Carolina, New Hampshire, Iowa, Nevada, Colorado, Michigan, Minnesota, Wisconsin, and, of course, Ohio. It's our states and the swing states. I'll be hosting before Thursday's debate. Tune in at 8 o'clock. And coming up next, a descendant of slaves and a descendant of slaveholders compare notes on coming to terms with their heritage.